Is that it, Katie?
That's it.
All right. Well, okay. What happened to, we had Chris Luxon. He was on. Looks as though that file's gone. It has. It's gone. Oh, okay. I'll be back in a minute.
There had been two reports now in the New York Post from, yes, the gossip columnist, Cindy Adams, but that's twice now she's saying she's heard this, and I've heard it as well, that there's been a reach out. So maybe it's true. I mean, the donors are going to talk about it if they get a reach out from Michelle or Barack Obama about whether there's an appetite for her.
Megyn Kelly.
And the one thing I know, Paul, is that if she wants it, I believe she'll get it. I know that many people believe Joe Biden won't step aside, and I agree he'll try not to. I just think the din in support of Michelle Obama in Democrat circles will be so loud.
Oh, no.
He won't be allowed to ignore it. So,
Michael,
and I think
a tranny, isn't he?
His numbers are going to go down this year. Yes, Trump's negatives are going to go down too, but Biden's going to have a slip or a fall. Something's going to happen to him. I just think crisis is coming the Democrats' way, not just the Republicans. And she'll be the answer. That's what they'll think.
That's right.
I don't know how it's going to come, how it's going to shake down, but I'm not ruling it out like other people's are.
Yeah, so that's Megyn Kelly there. She thinks that Obama's boyfriend, Michael, the tranny. Is he a tranny? I don't know. Who was it that said that? And then she ended up dead. You don't want to piss off Obama. We're over the Otago Daily Times. A man's been arrested over Christchurch power line tampering. 42-year-old man's been arrested and charged after a recent spate of overhead power line thefts in Christchurch. Stealing the lines. We need some wires. We're a bit short of wires. Public figures, grinder encounter leads to a blackmail accusation. Now, everyone's got name suppression in this, so we don't know who these people are, but some of you will probably know. A blackmail trial in Christchurch yesterday kicked off, and it heard a dispute that arose between a paid sexual encounter between a Canterbury-based public figure and the accused. Do a bit of a quick look at that, see if you can glean out who it is. Let's see. Now, this is the trial. It started in Christchurch District Court yesterday. A person accused of trying to blackmail a Canterbury-based public figure. Both the accused and the public figure have name suppression. Crown lawyer Sean Mallett said the two made contact on the dating app Grindr, had a sexual encounter. Ugh, yuck. Messy business. Sean Mallett said that prior to the sexual encounter, the defendant had mentioned being rewarded for the encounter, but they had not agreed on an amount or a method of payment. The complainant had said that he would not have cash and may need to pay via a bank transfer. After the defendant left, He messaged the complainant to say that he was normally paid $200 an hour. The complainant responded that he had been thinking about $50, but would pay $100 since the defendant had put in a lot of effort. Anyway, there's a blackmail case going on. There we are. Oh, gosh. You can read about that if you want. The Otago Daily Times. A fisherman pulls a body from the Hariki Gulf, and it was in three plastic bags. Those three plastic bags. It's not very pleasant. A fisherman, he discovered the body and was floating in Auckland's Gulf Harbour. He was out fishing. Police said that he fished up something. He was in the reserve of the Gulf Harbour in the afternoon, and the body that was found, the body was located in the water by members of the public near the Lorry Southwick Parade at about 3:15 yesterday. Retiree Paul Middleton, he told staff that he found the body in a plastic bag and then inside another plastic bag, which was inside another plastic bag. He said he saw a big lump out in the water. He thought it might have been a cow or something. And then, because he thought, well, I'll get over there, I might better catch a kawai and I'll be hanging around. And so there's a plastic bag inside a plastic bag inside a plastic bag, he said. To start with, I thought someone had thrown away a big chunk of meat, but then I saw clothes on it and then a hand. Uh-oh. If police are treating the death as unexplained, and so you end up in three plastic bags. The area had been cordoned off yesterday, and there's no immediate risk to the public, of course. A local man, Kyan Kirkard, he saw five police officers carrying a body from the water, and it was shrouded in a white plastic sheet. Quite a few officers were trying to pick it up, so it was obviously a bit slippery and a bit difficult to handle. a large police presence is at the scene, and they'll still be there today. Neighbours have been talking about the incident. It sort of unnerved them a little bit. They're a wee bit unnerved, and police are talking to people around the area, according to the Herald. That report is brought to you by the Otago Daily Times. LATAM passengers, they feared the plane was going to crash. They thought they were in trouble. That was flying from Sydney to Auckland. And they've slammed the airline for its apparent lack of communication and how it was treating them after the ordeal. The Prime Minister is unable to assume promised budget surplus. Prime Minister refusing to give any assurances that the government will be able to get back into surplus by 2027 as promised. Finance Minister Nicola Willis has indicated she's not confident the government will be able to achieve that commitment. While campaigning last year, Willis was confident that the National Party, the National Coalition, would deliver a $2.9 billion surplus in 2026-27, which was $0.8 billion higher than Labor. Christopher Luxon told Morning Report yesterday that he would not be able to give any concrete guidance until the May budget. He said it's a challenging time for the economy. He blamed a massive blowout in government spending at the reason for the domestic inflation and the high interest rates. He said it's quite obvious to us that we're dealing with a deteriorating economic set of circumstances. Luxon said the budget would refocus spending on the frontline services and deliver tax cuts. The government has increased allocations for the landlord tax deductions by $800 million from $2.1 billion to $2.9 billion. On Monday, Luxon said he had not seen updated costs for the reinstatement of interest deductibility, which should be, and it should be 100%, not 80%. From the 1st of April, landlords will be able to write off 80% of their mortgage interest on residential investment properties and 100% from April 2025. He said, we've made a commitment around interest deductibility. It's actually good policy. What's been insane is that we've seen average rents go up $170 a week. He said, we want to increase the supply of houses availability in the rental market and, you know, passing costs on to landlords and then end up passing it straight through to renters is just not the way to deal with it. I understand that sentence, but he obviously did. He said his government has focused on getting things done and fulfilling its election promises. Well, I think they certainly have, except for the fresh water rules. Rushing through legislation, Luxon also defended the government's move to bypass the select committee process for legislation to lower tax costs for landlords. The new law is not being given the same amount of scrutiny due to the truncated debating process. Luxon's explanation for the process was the party, that's what they campaigned on. People understand that this is our policy and we're implementing it, like it or lump it. You didn't say the last bit, I added that for effect. Yeah. Already 14 laws have passed under urgency by the government, while the average is 10 across the whole term. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? He says, we're elected to get things done and that's what we're doing. We've got an ambitious work program. We said we campaigned on ideas and policies where they were well-framed, well-articulated, and we will make no apologies. Good on you, Luxie. Luxie, the media hate you. Woman guilty of manslaughter after Alberton stabbing. That was a while ago. Kiara Richardson was found guilty of manslaughter after legally stabbing her husband. You may stab him. After fatally stabbing her husband and partner Peter Hemi more than 4 years ago. And a man's been killed at Christchurch City Mission has been named. Police have released the name of the man who was fatally stabbed in Christchurch City Mission on Sunday night. His name is Jordan Morris. He was 22. He was a local man. Yeah. And a pittance. Police officers slammed the new pay offer. Police officers are firing back at an insulting, disgusting and demoralising pay offer amid the cost of living crisis and demanding conditions. There's going to be a polar blast that's bearing down for the weekend. March is about to feel a bit more like May, according to forecaster, but I'm sure it'll be Philip Duncan. They don't say who he is, but it will be. They use him, but they don't promote him. They promote Niwa's sidekick, Met Service. Okay, so March is not going to be too good. It's going to be great. It's going to be the coldest weekend in 2024 so far, this weekend. Now, the age limit law forces the Chief Ombudsman, we talked about that yesterday, So he's due to retire. There's a 49-year-old law that's prohibiting him from keeping his post. I think we need to change things like that. Peter Boshier, he's a good man. He's a judge, retired judge. He has to retire completely from this ombudsman's position. I think he's done not a bad job of it. So that's Peter Boshier. They need to change it because we can get a lot from older people. You know, they've got the experience. You know, so long as all the faculties are there and they're not running around like Joe Biden, I think they should stay in the job. We need experience. We don't want too many young people running the show. It's all good to have the new blood come in, but you've got to have the stability of the older folks. Full of vitality and passion, apparently the young Canterbury woman was killed in Japan avalanche yesterday or the day before. One of the New Zealanders killed in the avalanche in Japan grew up in Canterbury and had worked at the ski fields in Tekapo and also Wanaka. Does it say who she is? She looks very pretty. Looks sweet. Lovely, fresh face. But Isabel Bolton. Oh, poor thing. Imagine the family. ACT leader David Seymour crashed his e-bike in Auckland. Oh, this, now we're getting down to the old news now. Okay, so that's it. Now, the latest news from the Otago Daily Times. Heartbroken to hear of death. Yes, Cadrona Alpine Resort staff are heartbroken to hear of Isabella Bolton. She was killed in that avalanche on Monday. Very sad. It is really, really terrible. And privileged to help expand the shelter. Building works to double the capacity of Dunedin's night shelter can start soon after a local businessman read about its funding appeal in the Otago Daily Times. I'm going to add that in. And stumped up a fat check. Good on you, mate. That's the story. Anything else? No, that looks like that's right about it. We'll be back in a moment with some more fake stream media from, well, some of it's true, but a lot of it's rubbish. We'll be back in a minute. I've had enough of Katie, haven't you?
How many genders are there?
Two.
And they are?
Male, female.
But what about someone's right to tell you what their gender
what a
is?
Joke.
No problem at all. So it's you, you're going to tell me what your gender is, but in the world, it's less fucked world. I don't have to believe it, but I'm thrilled for you. You're a lampshade. I'm so happy. Let me put a light bulb up your arse.
Mm.
Brilliant. Don't require me to think what you think. Okay.
Jacinda Ardern, you haven't been tested on these sorts of trust issues.
Call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Hey! Yes. Someone's copied my, that's my, I put that together and they've copied it. Oh, good on them.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
It was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Do you think it's changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account? You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
Different people now say Jacinda Ardern told them that Donald Trump mistook her for the wife of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. It sounds a trifling matter. Did you tell people that Donald Trump mistook
her? No.
But that's not the story they gave us. They didn't say someone got it wrong and thought accidentally that Jacinda Ardern had been mistaken. They said Jacinda Ardern was mistaken and Jacinda Ardern told us that she was mistaken by Donald Trump.
It's quite complicated.
It's actually not.
Okay.
Did you say to Tom Sainsbury that Donald Trump mistook you for Justin Trudeau's wife?
I gave him a short version, which was in behind the scenes at the Music Awards.
I know. What was the short version?
The shortened version was that there was some confusion over who I was, observed by someone else. I believe I told him the full story.
You believe you did?
I believe
Two
I did.
Two people now say that you told them that you were mistaken by Donald Trump. I know this seems like a trifling matter, but what I'm suggesting is that and now that you are a world leader, all of these little things can blow up to be big. And if you are giving something that is not the entire truth, it can confuse people.
No, I'm sharing this story here.
Did you say that confusion was someone else's confusion, or did you imply that it was Donald Trump's confusion?
I said there was confusion over who I was.
My school, there used to be a choice. You either learn Tudor England or you learn New Zealand history. And I'm lucky that I had a history teacher who believed that we should all learn New Zealand history. And so I was lucky that I did, but not everyone does.
The Article 1 of the treaty, what does it say?
Oh, Article 1, on the spot. Kāwhāingatanga, sorry, excuse me.
Article 2?
Look, Tēnā rangatanga.
Hey, what's going on? Why is that not working? I can't hear anything. Is there a problem? Something happened to it. Gosh, it says it's 5 minutes, but it's not. It's 2 minutes. I'm awfully sorry about that. Oh boy, we've run out of things to talk about, haven't we? I'll be back in a minute. I'll just see what's going on here.
You know, one thing that Davos, you might say, and the people come here stand up for is liberal democracy.
Well, it's laughable that you would, or anyone would describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. It's equally,
standing up for it.
It's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. In fact, I think that's absurd. But I'm going to step aside from that constructive criticism and instead answer your question. President Trump, if he's the next president, for that matter, I think whoever the next conservative president is going to take on the power of the elites. The very reason that I'm here at Davos is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, but that you're part of the problem. Political elites tell the average people on 3 or 4 or 5 issues that the reality is X, when in fact reality is Y. Take immigration. Elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life. They're right. President Trump will take that on behalf of the average American. Elites also tell us that public safety isn't a problem in big American cities. Just travel to New York or Washington or Dallas, Texas. The average person will tell you that the lack of public safety damages not just the American way of life, but their life. President Trump will take that on. I guess the favorite at the World Economic Forum. Climate change. Elites tell us that we have this existential crisis with so-called climate change, so much so that climate alarmism is probably the greatest cause for mental health crisis in the world. The solutions the average person know based on climate change are far worse and more harmful and cost more human lives, especially in Europe during the time that you need heating, than do the problem and the problems themselves. The fourth, China. The number one adversary, not just to the United States, but to free people on planet Earth. Not only do we at Davos not say that, we give the Chinese Communist Party a platform. Count on President Trump ending that nonsense. Inspired by the wise words of Javier Milei, who said that he was in power not to guide sheep, but to awaken lions. That's what the average American and the average free person on planet Earth wants out of leaders.
Well, but that Javier Milei, he's a phenomenally intelligent man. Have you heard him speak through an interpreter? Unbelievably clever, clever man. Anyway, so how's it all going? It's 20 past 7. I hope your morning's going well. Mine's going all right. Sorry about that big break in transmission. It was it said 5.5 minutes, but it didn't turn out to be that long, so I don't know what happened there. It's just another stuff-up. Digger did. He's out at the moment. Anyway. So, yeah, I've just about run out of puff. I don't know if I can do this. I think it's too much for me. I don't think I can do it. Maybe I can. Maybe just not every day. Maybe just, you know, once or twice a week. I could probably manage that. I'm just getting very exhausted because I'm building at the moment, and it's quite hard on old people, building. You feel it for quite a few days after. You know, I was lifting these 2.7 metre by 1200 metre, 21 mil thick plywood sheets. That takes a bit of effort for an old chap, lifting them around in planks and stuff like that, especially when you're dealing with half a dozen hernias, which I got, you know, a year and a half ago when I fell over with a big lump of steel in my hand, and that wasn't so good. Anyway, so enough about me talking about me. What about you? What do you think of me? Tucker Carlson, and then we'll be back, and I'll give you some more New Zealand news from other media around this country.
When an American journalist interviews someone like Vladimir Putin, the whole point of the interview is to say, I'm a good person and you're not. And that interview was aimed at his colleagues in the newsrooms in the United States. I'm a good person. Why are you such a bad person? You're committing genocide. Okay. That's not fruitful, and that's certainly not my role. I care what God thinks of me, what my wife thinks of me, and what my four children think of me, and that's all I care about. So I don't need to prove that I'm a good person. I want to hear Vladimir Putin talk so people in my country can assess what's happening.
I'll use the devil's advocate.
When you have a bad day, give up.
I know, I'm going to give up now.
Go home and sleep. Try again tomorrow. Not every bad day can become a good day. Some days are f***ed and cannot be un f***ed. When you have a day that is beyond repair, that is the universe.
That is the universe. Yeah, there we are. Like, wise words there. Had to edit, though, because he was using naughty language. I use language, but I use biblical language, you know, like bastard and piss. They're okay. You can use them. Bible words are good. No one should be offended by a Bible word in any context, in my opinion, my humble opinion. So I'm just waiting for the kettle to boil so I can recharge the batteries, and then we'll have another go at things and see what's going on with news. All right, we'll go to News Hub. We'll read them, read what's going on at News Hub before they throw the towel in on the 30th of June. Government could spend, could speed the plan. Government told... give up. Got to come back in a minute.
The Nazi regime shipped 150 healthy Jewish women to this pharmaceutical company to test its products. Literally, within 6 months, there's letters back to the Third Reich from this pharmaceutical company saying, thank you so much for your cooperation. Oh, the women arrived in great health and working order. Unfortunately, none of them made it through the initial phases of our trial. They killed 150 women. We kindly request that you send us another 150 women. Sure, that little company became Bayer, which is now a mega pharmaceutical company.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievably bad, isn't it? Unbelievable.
I feel very trapped. I'm afraid to go out on my own. My sons won't let me go out on my own.
Oh, we've had
violence,
this.
Anti-immigration.
No, we've had this. Sorry about that.
Just keep saying racist, Islamophobic or Muslim.
These comments pour fuel on the fire of anti-Muslim hatred. Racism. There's a hierarchy when it comes to race, to call out anti-Muslim hatred. People who are Muslim or look like Muslims are Islamophobic, are anti-Muslim and are racist, are Islamophobic, racist.
That's Sadiq Khan, isn't it? Yep, okay. Thank you. It is coming up 20 past 7, and government told speed plan could cost $90,000 per school. Campaigner calls proposed changes criminal. And who is this campaigner? Her name, News Hub can reveal that they're still using Waka Kotari. No wonder you half-wits are going down the toilet. It's transport, New Zealand transport, that'll do. They've estimated the cost of installing electronic signs to slow drivers down during school drop-offs and pickups. It could cost $90,000 per school, and the government wants to introduce some mandatory variable speeds outside schools, but the transport minister is adamant his plan can be more cost-effective because it's they'll use cheaper signs. Road safety campaigner Lucinda Rees, she wants all speed permanently reduced to 30 kilometres per hour outside of schools. She said it's up to the children to make their way to school. It's up to the children to make their way to school. No, it's up to the parents to make sure their children make their way to school. You funny woman. The high-speed highway outside Ashley School in Rangiora is reduced to 60 kilometres per hour during school pick-up and drop-offs. The new Transport Minister, Simeon Brown, he wants all schools to have variable speeds and for cars to drive even slower during those times. He said, I'm saying 30 kilometres or 40 kilometres per hour during pick-up and drop-off times. That's what Simeon says. And he also says, but in bringing in the blanket rule, Brown will take away communities' ability to reduce speeds 30 kilometres an hour at all times of the day outside schools. Absolutely. No one coming and going. I don't think you should reduce anything. I think it just make kids and parents be more careful. That's what you do. 50 kilometres per hour, that's all right. Maybe pick up and drop up times. I mean, I'd slow down anyway, don't you? You know, around a school bus, you crawl along, don't you? So if some little kid pops out, you can stop. Stop in time. It's called defensive driving. Didn't your dad teach you that? Oh, gosh. Anyway, so that's then nothing story. That's the top story of coming out of News Hub at the moment. Holidays and health and safety changes. The workplace relations manager reveals the priorities this term. That's Brooke Van Velden, I believe. Yes, it is. Workplace relations minister Brooke Van Velden has revealed her priorities for her portfolio this term, including making changes to our Holiday Act and reform on health and safety law and regulations. Van Velden shared her priorities with Auckland Business Chamber on yesterday, saying that she was committed to cutting the red tape and regulations that are stopping both business and employers, or rather employees, from realising their full potential. It comes after the government's move to abolish fair pay agreements and expand the availability of a 90-day trial. That's a good idea. Van Velden criticised the previous government for increasing minimum wage faster than inflation, introducing Matariki, I know, how silly was that, as a new public holiday, and introducing more sick leave for employees. Yeah, it's absolutely frustrating. Both employers and workers are facing the frustrations both employers and workers are facing are connected. Labour market regulations are becoming increasingly complex, making it harder for employers and workers to reach resolutions that work for both of them, she said. Van Velden announced a top priority was making changes to the Holidays Act. The problems with the Holidays Act have been experienced so widely, most employers have found themselves non-compliant in some point of time, she said. Workers suffer because it's difficult to be sure they are actually receiving their statutory entitlements, and many have suffered years of underpayment. Businesses suffer because the processes and calculations of the Holidays Act are so complex, many employers struggle to understand their legal obligations, and even with the best intentions have found themselves non-compliant. And the taxpayer suffers because it's not only the private sector that has struggled to get things right. Even MBIE, in part, is part of the long list of employers who have been tripped up by the Act. The irony is not lost on me, she says. So that's her. I quite like her. She seems quite bright. The Royal Family, it's bizarre. Bizarre new theory in Kate Middleton's photo editing scandal. Yeah, this news just in. It comes after the photo of Middleton, Kate Middleton, posing. It's Queen, isn't she? No, it's Princess. Posing with her three children was withdrawn by news agencies, the Associated Press and Reuters, among others, amid claims it had been photoshopped. The picture was released officially in the UK on Sunday, local time, as speculation continues about the health following surgery, or her health following surgery in January. In a kill notification, I don't like that, kill sounds terrible, client's AP stated, at closer inspection, it appears the source has manipulated the image. No replacement photo has been sent. On Tuesday morning, New Zealand time, Princess issued an apology on social media. Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I don't think she would. Is that true? The message on X said, signed with C, meaning it was sent by Kate with a K. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. But as speculation continues to spread on social media, a new theory has come to light. Ruby Naldrett, who works at the UK newspaper The Daily Mirror, believes the old Vogue cover of 2016 was used in the photo. My analysis of the Kate Middleton photo saga is that they took her face from the Vogue cover she did years ago and edited it, Ruby wrote on X alongside comparisons. We spoke to News Hub's graphic department, who aren't convinced about that theory. But the team don't believe that it's the same photo due to the different lighting and positioning, and colour of her hair is different as well. Visual media communications expert RMIT, Armit University, TJ Thompson, he agrees the Vogue theory isn't 100%. The overlay, he said, I overlaid Vogue cover on top of the Instagram image And I think there are some similarities, but it's not, in my estimation, an exact match. Perhaps something like an 80 to 90% overlap, Thomas said. That's what he told Yahoo. He said there's little that can be done to determine when the viral photo was actually taken. It's probably more or less real. There could be a little bit of airbrushing, a little bit of smoothing, a bit of teeth whitening, that type of thing. I think the basic components are probably accurate, but it's just a bit, oh, give it up. Who cares? She put out a photograph, she touched it up. Who cares? No news in Great Britain at the moment, I think that could be the trouble. Should we have a look at Television New Zealand? There's a publication called Balance, Journalism Without Agenda is the headline. You can find them at thebalance.website. So it's another brutal swing of the axe with New Zealand's journalism. It's time for TVNZ, the state broadcaster, a more accurately crown entity. Long-running programs are being taken off the air along with two daily news bulletins. And let's not forget the 33 other people that don't work at the News and Current Affairs Department who are also in line to lose their jobs. It's brutal, with the only saving grace being that there will be still news on TV. Folks over at TV3 won't have that luxury. Their entire news hub newsroom will be shut down in just a few months' time. So why these particular cuts? Well, to understand it, let's take a discussion about the importance of journalism and the concerning decline in our output that we're seeing in New Zealand out of the equation. Let's take that out. Sunday is an award-winning long-form current affairs program which has been around for 20 years, actually longer when you take into account the previous incarnations of the format. It has around 20 staff and involves a lot of time and money to produce multiple stories each week. Fair Go is one of New Zealand's longest running TV programs, fighting for the little guy in the consumer world. I don't know what its staffing numbers are, but similarly, it will be a production heavy outfit. And One News at midday and One News Tonight are 5 days a week publications. Admittedly, they draw mostly on the resources of Breakfast and One News at 6 p.m. respectively, but they still require staff and technical crews to get them to air. But with TV news watchers declining in number, it's hard to imagine one bulletin in the middle of the workday and one at night when people are watching Netflix and they have a greater viewership. And low ratings mean low advertising dollars. News Hub recognised this and ditched its 11:30 a.m., 4:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. bulletin some time ago. That's why these shows have been hit the hardest. They either cost too much money to make or don't make enough money themselves. But the key with the cuts, perhaps, is to also look at what isn't being cut. One News at 6 appears largely untouched. It's not being cut back to 30 minutes. It was speculated. And it's still a highly watched show, with Mike Hosking reporting on his podcast a day or two ago about 500 million people. 500 million? 500,000. It was a billion. About 500,000 people watch that at night, so 500,000. Even in the digital age, there are still enough people wanting to watch the 6 o'clock news for it to be viable. And so the advertisers want to put their ads around it, wrap around. Similarly, the light news and entertainment show 7 Sharp, which immediately follows the 6 p.m. news, remains intact. In doing so, TV One, Television New Zealand One, keeps its dominance of the 6 to 7:30 p.m. period. Its only competition will come from the nightly soap Shortland Street over at TV Two. Because there won't be any news or current affairs or light entertainment of any sort over on TV3 at that time. And the three-hour morning show Breakfast doesn't appear to have been affected either. Remember, it too will have no competition once TV3's morning show AM ends in June. What's the difference with these programs? Well, aside from the fact that they'll be the only offering of their type in their given time slots, the crucial thing is that they all make money. TVNZ is still charge good amounts. They do. They charge good amounts for advertising during the 6 p.m. news because there are still a lot of people watching it. And if you're an advertiser, and advertising is persistent with ads on television, if you're going to carry on doing that instead of going onto social media, looking at that and YouTube and that and the like, that's the best slot for them. Always has been and probably always will be, as long as broadcast television is still in existence. But in addition to this, some programs make money in addition to traditional advertising. The editor of Newstalk ZB Plus, Philip Crump, under the nom de plume Thomas Cramner, has previously demonstrated the extent of paid and sponsored content on broadcast television and Seven Sharp. Breakfast television, I beg your pardon. It means these programs are, in Crump's words, stuffed with paid content. Commercially, they can more effectively justify their existence. Of course, none of this will come as any comfort to the people losing their jobs or the people lamenting what's happening to journalism in New Zealand right now. But I think it explains it. Money neither grows on trees nor, it seems, amongst many of the branches of the television news and current affairs. As the winter approaches, the leaves are dropping to the ground at an alarming rate. And that's a great little piece there, and that's brought to you by The Balance website. And that was initially pointed out to me through The Centrist, and you can find The Centrist at thecentrist.co.nz or at just called Centrist without the definite article, just centrist.co.nz. That might be easier. And I think they're also tied up with NZ News Essentials as well. It is 22 minutes away from 8 o'clock. We'll have some Australian news for our Australian listeners coming up at 8 o'clock, and then that's my lot.
All of your big media outlets, which are disgusting, are state media because they're taking state cash. Do you watch CBC? I do, occasionally. I can turn in any hour of the day, and I will learn that I am racist for driving an SUV and not being trans. That's the whole schedule of CBC programming. But interpret that. That's not woke. Oh, it's woke. I hate the woke crap. Doesn't mean anything. They hate you. That's what they're saying.
I just want to make this one point, if I may, which is that Tommy Robinson, you may not like him, you may not care about him, you may think he's an asshole, you may love him. Doesn't matter to me what you think in that regard. You can think all those things. This court case is about a Section 35, which is another kind of dispersal order. Because he went to the protest against anti-Semitism, he was having his breakfast, he was arrested, he was given a Section 35, or he was called on his Section 35, which said he couldn't be there. He could very well end up in prison. And all I want to say briefly, I know we're running out of time, is do you see how the law is not the law? How if you're Greta Thunberg and you're being paid to push net zero, you are let off because the courts will say, oh, well, it wasn't Greta's fault. It wasn't explained clearly. Poor Greta. And the net zero mafia get another opportunity to have the headlines say, we've got to save the planet. Polar bears, penguins. But if you're Tommy Robinson and you're given a Section 35, which is similar to a Section 14, and you're having breakfast quietly and you're arrested, you're going to end up in prison.
You're going to end up in prison if you're Tommy Robinson. No one likes Tommy Robinson. Well, I do. I like him. Katie and I like him, don't we, Katie? Yeah. Now, come back, Katie.
Right. You guys want the Holly Willoughby gossip. Here it is.
Yep.
Gosh, at this point, for ITV to get rid of Holly Willoughby would cost the earth. Can you even imagine? Reputational damage, you know, PTSD, the stalker, all the rest of it. Having to work with Alison Hammond. So instead, they've put her back on Dancing of Ice. So the British public, we're like, what the fuck is she doing back? I thought they got rid of her. What's she doing? She looks a bit like an ex-wife at a wedding, doesn't she? Kind of desperate and overdressed. Or one of those patients she finds staggering around the wrong ward when they've taken too many Prozac. OK, off you go, back to where you should be now, Holly, OK? Meanwhile, the management are like, oh, well done, you did so great, so good to have you back, because they're worried about their bonuses. Meanwhile, BBC and ITV don't want to employ any men that might be a pedo perv and stick their cock up a small child or waggle it round for OnlyFans, so they're exclusively employing Bradley Walsh or Stephen Mulhern. Or Steve Brad Walsh Hearn, as I call them. Or their offspring. What's he called? Bernardo's? I don't know. Well, the kid, Bradley Walsh's kid, looks a bit like the work experience kid, doesn't he? Who just turned up with absolutely no clue, like an apprentice at a garage that's never seen a spanner. Anyway, that, as they say, is the tea on Holly Willoughby.
Katie Hopkins there, 20 minutes away from 8 o'clock. 20 minutes debate. You're with Grant Edwards on The World at 5, but it's The World at 6 today. We started a bit late. We got up at 5, so you could say that. Started work then. in preparation. Now, we're over at News Hubs, and you'll find them at newshub.co.nz for the time being until June 30th. United States, the fresh news through, accurate and fair. US prosecutor defends comments about Joe Biden's poor memory. And in business, New Zealand business, bank profits may have plateaued as operating expenses rise. More from the United States, Boeing whistleblower found dead in truck in midst of lawsuit against the company. Oh, boy. And the government told the speed plan could cost $90,000 per school. Old news. Rugby league. Egan Capwell named in New Zealand Warriors lineup to face Melbourne Storm. Andrew Tate has been detained in Romania along with his brother over sex offence charges that can be extradited back to the UK. Extremely rare, the terrifying reason why Latin American could have suddenly dropped. Well, let's find out. Let's see if they've got their volume right. Oh, we've got to listen to an ad, do we? We've got to listen to a 12-second ad. Passenger on board LATAM flight LA-800 has recounted seeing passengers levitating after the aircraft dropped suddenly during a injuring 50 passengers. Here we go. Let's listen.
Flight from Sydney says he asked the pilot what happened and was told the instrument panel went blank for a second and he lost control of the plane.
Around 50 people were injured when the plane suddenly dropped and some were thrown into the ceiling. Nick Troubridge has the story.
A woman lies injured at 30,000 feet. She's one of 50 passengers hurt in the chaos aboard flight LA-800.
There was one younger boy in front of me who was quite traumatised. Upon seeing his father levitate.
The LATAM Airlines Boeing 787 departed Sydney for Auckland at 11:44 local time, but 2 hours in, it experienced what the airline is calling a technical event and sudden movement. It corrected and carried on to Auckland, carrying dozens of injured passengers. Lucas Elwood told News Hub the terrifying drop happened just after lunch was cleared.
People were still finishing their drinks, and when the jolt happened, the wine, the unseat-belted people and lots of bags and cell phones all hit the roof.
This footage was shot from inside the aircraft just after the plane malfunctioned. Passengers can be seen assisting the injured. This photo, taken by passenger Brian Jockett, shows people hit the roof so hard it caved in.
So the pilot, after this happens, comes back to check on everybody.
And I immediately engaged with him and said, you know, what was that? And he openly admitted, he said, I lost control of the plane. My gauges just kind of went blank on me. And that's when the plane just took a dive.
An aviation expert and pilot says a computer malfunction could be one possible explanation for this incident.
The most likely one, if at all, would be possibly a malfunction in the autopilot. When the pilots were least expecting it.
In 2008, incorrect data sent to a computer on a Qantas flight caused the autopilot to shut down and the plane suddenly lost altitude. In that incident, 70 people were injured.
If you look back at the total number of incidents that have happened within the industry, aviation industry, extremely rare, which is why I refer to it as a black swan incident.
A black swan incident, one that fortunately wasn't fatal.
Well, Nick joins us now. Kia ora, Nick. So who's now investigating what happened?
Good evening, Mike. We've just had word from transport authorities in New Zealand that Chilean investigators will be commencing an investigation led by authorities in that country. New Zealand transport investigators will provide assistance to that investigation. We've also just heard in the last couple of minutes from Te Whatu Ora about the injuries. What I can tell you tonight is four people remain in Middlemore Hospital with moderate injuries. Of course, as you heard in that story, that is 50 people in total injured, four remaining in care in hospital in Auckland. It's been a rough start to the year for Boeing, Mike. Obviously, there has been this incident. There was also an incident involving an Alaska Airlines jet, which came a cropper over the west coast of the US. Basically, what happened there is it appears a door flew off the aircraft, and an investigation has been launched into that incident as well. Certainly a rough start to the year, Mike. Certainly a lot of questions, as you heard in that piece. This appears to be something to do possibly with the autopilot, an issue with the autopilot, but we will wait and see what comes out of that investigation being led by authorities overseas and backed up by their Kiwi counterparts. Mike.
There we are. That news is brought to you by News Hub. Now we're going to whip over to Radio New Zealand and have a listen to their 7 o'clock bulletin and see if they can bring us up to date with some proper news.
RNZ Pacific News, Nissan Bulawinaka.
Oh no, we're not doing Pacific News. We could do, but no, we won't do that. We'll do this.
RNZ News at 7. Kia ora, good morning. Ko Nicola Wright, tēnei mēngā. Pito pito kōrero. The police minister's blaming tough economic times for the pay offer that police officers have dismissed as insulting. Police association members have rejected their latest offer, which includes an initial pay rise of $5,000 and then increases of 4% each year for the following 2 years. It has no benefits for health checks and no backdating. The Labour Party says offers from Australia will look more attractive. Mark Mitchell says he wants to keep officers in New Zealand.
I completely respect their decisions. They'll be making decisions based on what is best for them or their families. They've already provided public service
like
for us here in New Zealand.
Sounds like he's a bit of a dope.
I hope that we can grow
Mitchell with his banning gang patches
and hopefully attract them back home. But look, of course, we don't want to lose them.
Mark Mitchell says the government continues to work
properly
in good faith with the union. The Police Association president says its members feel like they've been put to the back of the queue for pay rises among essential public service workers because they can't go on strike. Chris Cahill told Morning Report police had been expecting at least a 6% rise for the first year, which would be backdated after other public service pay movements last year. He says there are long-standing problems with the police's pay structure. LATAM Airlines is still not saying what may have caused a terrifying plunge that left 50 of its passengers injured. The Boeing 787 Dreamliner suddenly lost altitude on a flight from Sydney to Auckland on Monday, hurling passengers around the cabin. The plane was supposed to continue on to Santiago, but that flight was cancelled, and passengers instead flew to the Chilean capital on a different plane last night. Before boarding that flight, one man told RNZ the passengers had been given food and accommodation, but no explanation. He says they hadn't been asked if they were okay, just told to pick up their luggage and go to a hotel. Another passenger says no one from the airline helped as victims were taken to hospital. Doctors are warning the Civil Aviation Authority it is risky to proceed with a new IT system for recording medical checks on pilots and air traffic controllers. They say it's a poor fit for New Zealand, out of
because
date, inefficient,
all got jab
and will
injuries
not deliver a safe system. Phil Pennington reports.
Civil Aviation bought a new IT system, MPIC, from Germany 3 years ago. It aims to roll out the medical checking part of that by the middle of the year. But the Aviation Medical Society wrote to Civil Aviation yesterday, pleading with it to hold off, saying the software is extremely limited. It says Australia has offered its system to New Zealand for free in the past. Doctors want that offer looked into, and a New Zealand system called SkyCert that many doctors already use evaluated. Civil Aviation has been approached for comment.
In Auckland, fisherman who found a body wrapped in plastic in Gulf Harbour says he thought it could be a log when he first spotted it. Paul Middleton was in the Whangaparawa area hoping to catch some kahawai or snapper and thought the object might attract fish. He snagged it with his lure and pulled it to shore.
Slowly pulled it in because it was pretty damn heavy. Moved fairly easy, but it was pretty heavy. Got it to the rocks, tried to bring it up. Real heavy. Managed to get it up a little wee bit. Took the hook out, opened it up.
Paul Middleton says he struggled to get through several layers of plastic and found what he thought was meat. But when he saw a hand, he realised it was time to call 111. The police are saying very little and are calling the death unexplained. Palestinian medical staff have told the BBC they were blindfolded, detained, forced to strip and repeatedly beaten by Israeli troops after the soldiers overran Nasser Hospital in Gaza last month.
Rubbish.
The Israeli Defence Force has said it found weapons in the hospital belonging to the Palestinian militant group Hamas, which its operation in Gaza aims to wipe out. With more, here's the BBC's Wira Davis.
Images and footage obtained by the BBC show hospital patients with their hands zip-tied, detained outside in their beds and wheelchairs. Israeli soldiers were also filmed standing over stripped and kneeling medical staff. More than 50 medics were detained, and one of the few doctors who have since been released told the BBC his hand was broken in captivity and that he thought he'd be killed. Israel says any abuse of detainees is against IDF orders and is strictly prohibited.
Meanwhile, a charity ship carrying 200 tonnes of aid for Gaza has left Cyprus in a pilot project to open a sea route for supplies. An Auckland real estate agent has been given a formal warning by her employer for posting a TikTok video of herself giving a sales pitch in a fake Asian accent. The woman, who is of Asian descent, also says she will do cleaning and cooking for potential buyers. Lucy Xia reports.
Lin Yi is an award-winning real estate agent who works for the company Ray White in Epsom. In the video, she adopts the persona of an Asian woman, happy to clean and cook, and who promises clients she'll love them long time. The woman who complained about the footage, which has now been removed, says it perpetuates an offensive stereotype. Lin Yi says she had no idea people would be offended, but realises speaking English with a fake Asian accent is wrong. Ray White says the company is committed to giving its employees cultural sensitivity and anti-discrimination training.
All passenger sailings on the Inter-Islanders Kaiārahi ferry have been cancelled today while a mechanical fault is fixed.
Another one.
But the Cook Strait ferry will still sail with freight. Three sailings between Wellington and Picton are affected. The Inter-Islander says it is sorry for the inconvenience, but safety is its top priority. Passengers are being offered bookings on other ferries or a refund. That's the news.
All right.
Kia ora, thank you very much, Nicola. You're listening to Morning Report on RNZ National. Now, shortly we'll get the latest on the pay negotiations between the police and the government.
No, they don't want to listen to you. They're here to listen to me. Okay, well, let's look at weather, and then that's my lot for the day. I better go and do some proper work, I suppose, paid work. We'll look at Wednesday's report from Weather Watch and our good friend Philip Duncan. The autumn weather pattern is becoming more energetic, with colder weather today for some regions, followed by another cold front this Friday and Saturday. Thursday will be briefly milder for many in the northerlies and westerlies as the northerlies and westerlies move ahead of the cold front. High pressure has centred on the western side of New Zealand, out towards Tasmania, and it really is a classic El Nino, according to Philip Duncan there, our good friend at weatherwatch.co.nz. You can get over there. He's got lots of good videos and very informative and a very good meteorologist as well. Let's look at the highs. First of all, the extremes. Napier Airport has the highest temperature at the moment, 20 degrees. Lumsden, I told you it would drop off. It was 4.6 degrees earlier this morning. It's now 2.1 degrees. That's the coldest place in the country. Castle Point has 57 kilometres of wind, and Westport is the wettest at the moment with just 2 millimetres of rain. Temperatures right across the country: Stewart Island 10 degrees, Invercargill 11, Dunedin's on 10 along with Queenstown. Timaru has 13, Chatham Islands 14 degrees, 13 degrees in Christchurch. Over to the west coast, 12 degrees in Franz Josef, Westport's on 15, Nelson 17, and Blenheim has 20. Level pegging with Napier Airport. Wellington's on 17, Masterton 14, Palmerston North 17 degrees this morning at 5 minutes away from 8 o'clock. Napier has 16 along with Rotorua. New Plymouth's on 18. Did I say Palmerston North? I think you did. Palmerston North 17. Taupo, we did them. Taupo and Rotorua both on 15 and 16. Gisborne has 19 degrees. Tauranga is 17, Auckland 19 along with Whangarei, and Kaitaia no reading from them again this morning. Something wrong with the thermometer. In the west, this is the short forecast, in the west from Northland to Horowhenua and from Kapiti Coast, including the central high country, isolated showers clearing north of Waitomo this afternoon. For the Bay of Plenty, cloudy periods, isolated showers clearing this afternoon. For Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, fine weather apart from isolated morning showers. Isolated afternoon and evening showers about the ranges, possibly heavy. For Wellington and Wairarapa, cloudy periods, isolated showers. For Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, scattered showers easing this afternoon. For Buller and Westland, rain clearing from the south this morning, then mostly fine weather. For Otago and Southland and Fiordland as well, mainly fine weather, but a few showers in the south. And for the Chatham Islands, mostly cloudy, showers developing this afternoon and in the evening. The outlook for Thursday in the North Island, showers in the east and south clearing, a few showers in the north, mainly fine elsewhere, rain in the south and west of the South Island, heavy about Fiordland, mainly fine elsewhere. Friday, rain developing in the North Island, heavy at times. Rain spreading north in the South Island, easing to isolated showers in the south. On Saturday, rain clearing in the North Island with fine breaks increasing. Rain in the north of the South Island, easing to isolated showers, mainly fine with the odd shower elsewhere, but rain developing in the south later. The extended forecast for the Chatham Islands, fine weather with winds dying out on Thursday, rain and strong northwesterlies developing on Friday, turning to lighter southwesterlies on Saturday as rain eases to isolated showers. Well, that's my lot, folks. I was a bit tired this morning, had a bit of trouble getting the words out, but we get there, we got there. I hope anyone that's on Rumble, I hope you enjoyed looking at Linda Green. Balm, or what's her name? Green somebody. She was that sword fisherman. She, her character was played in the movie The Perfect Storm, you'll remember. I think it was called this. Yes, she's on now. I'm looking at her now. The Hannah Bowden. That was the fishing boat that she was on up in the North America, there up in the Atlantic. They're fishing for a broadbill. That's what we call them here, broadbill, but they call them swordfish over there. They look more like swordfish, and that's very exciting. I love watching fishing. I love fishing. I did some surface longline fishing in my youth. Well, not really youth. I suppose it was a while ago, but I loved it. One of the most exciting jobs I ever did, and I always wanted to do it, and I'm glad I did. I did it for about 3 months. They wanted me to come back. They wanted me to get my skipper's ticket, which I'd almost had, and fish during the winter for them up there in the Bay of Islands. It was a lovely family company, and they had, I think it was called Blue, or it was a wild albacore or something like that, Blue Ocean Fish or something. They bottled their tuna. It was really nice albacore, and they had a special bottling process. And the fellow that owned it, he was a fisherman from not the Marlborough Sounds, the Milford Sound. He was a crab fisherman down there, and him and his son, he's an engineer actually on one of those big super yachts in Florida. He came over for the summer, and I think it was 2009. I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Got me fit, got me thin again. And they said that I was the best greenhorn they'd ever had. And that's because my heart was in it. I really loved it. And I just worked my guts out, just enjoyed it too. Hard day's work. At the end of the hard day, you sleep like a baby. Rattling around in it, it's like being in a tin, being rattled around in a cake tin on board this big ship. And every night we'd set a parachute anchor out in the Tasman there, and set a parachute anchor, and we'd just hang off that. I thought it would have been better if they put a bridle on it and pulled it back to a winch about midships or somewhere around there. Yeah, that would have been better, just to pull them round a bit. It would have been a more comfortable ride, but they haven't been watching the Pardy bridle system. The Pardies, now, of course, he's gone. But he was great. He invented that system and saved many a sailor from having uncomfortable time at sea. You can just park the boat with the Pardy bridle system. Very good. Anyway, so that's my lot for the day, and I'll be more possibly back tomorrow. So until then, until tomorrow, I will see you later, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Fabulous. Italian TV brutally mocks Joe Biden. I'll leave you with that, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow morning around about 5 or 6.
Buonasera, Presidente Biden. Presidente. Good evening, Mr. President. No, President Biden. President. Here we are. President. Presidente Biden. Qui.
Here.
Yes, yes. Good evening. Buonasera.
Yes.
Yes. Eh?
I said to the president of Israel.
Sì.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
No, non è Gorbachev, non è Gorbachev il presidente dell'Israele, no, no.
Sorry, Michael Jordan.
No, non lo vai. No. Where are you going? Stay quiet. Ecco. Okay.
Ma lei è...
È la valigetta dei codici atomici quella.
No, no, no.
Lei non sta bene? No.
No.
Gliel'hanno fatto grosso.
I forgot to take the pills.
No, ma non sono le pillole, non, è, non sono
no,
le medicine.
I called the nurse.
No, 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 non... No, no!
Now, another hour of the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s and noughties. This is The Wireless.